Welcome to Combo Smite, the War Machine and Horde's Battle Report podcast brought to you by an Imperial Lackey, an overpowered Swan, and an angry Elf. Welcome to Combo Smite. This week's podcast is brought to you by the newest Iosin novel bestseller, 50 Shades of Kill All the Humans. My name is Mark. I play Signar and Menoth, and I actually have a friend who works for Harlequin Romance, where they make real romance novels as opposed to, you know, slashy fanfic crap.
I'm Nick, and this week I'm playing Mercenaries.
I'm Aaron, and I play Kador. And I don't think Harlequin is real. It's not like the impulse buy at Shoppers Drug Mart novel.
It totally is, and ironically, they're one of the world's biggest publishing companies as a result, which I... What can you say? It's people
Should
know what they like.
Sad at the state of literature.
Yeah.
That and Twilight.
Well, which is 50 Shades of Grey, but, you know. Anyways. Yeah,
I'm gonna 50 Shades of Grey was made in response to Twilight, though, I thought.
It's actually a fanfic. It was someone who was a fan of Twilight and wanted to write, you know, a Twilight story using Twilight characters, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, I thought it was that someone was like, I cannot believe these books are fucking popular. You know what? I'm going to write a garbage novel and see if it gets popular.
It's a good thing we're a War Machine podcast and not a Harlequin podcast, so let's get back on topic.
Okay. So for this week's podcast, as Nick was mentioning, he was playing Mercenaries, and Dav was playing Menoth, which is a big game for me because in the last five matchups, which is to say every time I've ever played Nick's Searforge, he has absolutely curb stomped me. So this was going to be my most recent of my many embarrassments. I mean, I'm sure it'll go fine. But before we get to that, news and announcements. Now, this is going to be a strange news and announcements because this is the third podcast we have recorded this week. But I'm going to ask anyways, gentlemen, does anyone have any news or announcements?
I finally got War Room working.
Oh my god.
Sort of.
Huzzah, how'd you do it? Did you have to reinstall your phone OS?
No, I don't know. I uninstalled it and I, you know what, I'll try it again. And I reinstalled it for like the sixth time. And then it actually let me download the Kador deck.
Nice.
Now the problem is I can't, like, the phone can't go into sleep mode,
right,
or else it just crashes. So I have to constantly be touching the screen to make sure that it doesn't go away. So again, it's terrible, but at least
semi-functionally terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a step in the right direction, at least.
It went up to half a star out of five, so it's not zero anymore.
Once again, I must iterate that it works fantastic. So this week, it was a game between Nick's Searforge and my Protector of the Menoth, and Nick's Searforge has beat me every single time we've played ever. So I was hopeful that I'd actually be able to win this one. So why don't we start with you, Nick? Why don't you talk a little bit about the lists you brought and why you brought them?
Well, I actually brought one dwarf list and one ret list, just because I didn't know what I felt like playing. And so I brought my Assyria list that has like Desters and Strike Force and Halberdiers and Hyperion and a Chimera in it, and et cetera. And I also brought a Gorton list, which I ended up playing this week. It was Gorton with an Earthbreaker and Silas. Max Nace Hunters, Max Forge Guard, Gun Mages plus the Dude, the Tactical Arcanist Core, I got Rupert, I got Dougal, I got Thor.
It's a good list.
So, nice little support package. Got, you know, kind of like the greatest hits of Highborn minus Boomhowers.
Yes. Which are insane with Gorton's Solid Ground.
Yeah, he definitely takes them up a notch.
Yeah. So, now that you've played the list, what would you change?
Well, I did have a previous version of this list. I think I took out Dougal, subbed him for the Gobber, and put in Boomhowlers, and took out the Forge Guard.
Right.
And I think that, you know, that was okay. Either one of those would have done okay in this list. I mean, the Forge Guard are nice heavy hitters with a high mat, which is nice.
Yep.
But Boomhowlers are, you know, very utilitarian in a different way.
Yes, no question. As long as you don't need them to kill anything. So,
well, they can kill errands.
Yeah, well, yeah. In theory,
they can kill errands. Because errands are only defense 12. Anything higher than that, and Boomhowlers kind of suck.
Yeah, they start to struggle. So for my part, because Nick didn't go to the tournament and I didn't want him to feel left out, I decided to run my two tournament lists exactly the way they were from the tournament and give him the opportunity to beat my tournament lists to see if he could do it. And after seeing the choices between Assyria and Gorton, and both of them having Colossals. I figured that my Fiora list was probably the better choice. My Harbinger list is good, but it struggles a little bit against high armor, so I decided to go with Fiora. So, Epic Fiora, with a Hierophant, a Redeemer that's bonded to her, a Reckoner, and a Vanquisher. Max unit of Exemplar Errants with the UA. The Seneschal for the Exemplar Errants, High Exemplar Gravis, Paladin of the Order of the Wall, Allegiant Tarion de la... God damn it. Taryn de la Rovizi, Gorman de Wolf, Rax, Vassals of Menoth times 2, and a minimum unit of Choir. This is not a great Protectorate list. I like it. It's fun. But it's really got too many solos and one too many Warjacks, I think. Fiora is only a Focus 6 Warcaster, so she doesn't like running three Jacks all the time. But, you know, it served me well at the tournament. I was hoping it would do okay here. Also, Taryn, as much as I like her and it's a beautiful model, she doesn't really belong in the list. It's already got a lot of shooting. It's already got a lot of magic weapons. She's kind of extraneous. So that's what I was fielding. Okay, and Aaron, why don't you talk a little bit about the scenario we were playing today?
What was the scenario?
Yeah, fair question. Number 8, whatever
the rally points.
Oh, there we go. So it's 2 12-inch diameter circles, 2 objectives, friendly and an enemy, dominate control, blah, all that usual stuff.
Good job, Aaron.
No, I'm telling Aaron, so now yep. Aaron gets to tell everybody else.
Did the objectives do anything?
Yes, they give a solo within 4 inches gets inspiration faction.
Which makes other things fearless within range of him.
Yes.
Within that unit's, or within that model's control.
Command, yes.
Or command, yes.
Yep.
Pretty jank. I really like those objectives, by the way. They just are very handy.
Okay, so we roll for initiative, and I think I won. Oh my god, I totally did. Yay. So, I won the initiative roll. I chose to go first, and Nick picked table side. Nick, was there any reason you picked the side you did?
I had the idea that I might try to dominate my enemy zone, and I thought that hill looked nice.
Because
then I could park Gorton on the hill. He's hard to hit with a wall and a hill. that seemed like a good place to go.
Yeah, good as reason as any. Okay, so I deployed first. Well, the Earthbreaker went out first. Nick put it slightly to the right, in the aggressive side of center, so he could head towards my zone. I put Fiora in the middle of the table. She was flanked by Gravis and then her two heavy Warjacks. The Redeemer, which in this case is being proxied by a Redeemer without any arms, went closer to the left side across from the Earthbreaker. Not because I thought the Redeemer would do a lot against an Armor 20 Warjack, but because I knew that Nick would be putting all the support staff close to or behind the Redeemer and behind the Earthbreaker, and I was hoping to get some good scatters. I put my Paladin just a little bit past that point, and then I put Taryn next to the Paladin. Again, Taryn's basically only useful in this list against Warjacks, so I'm hoping she can get a couple corrosion shots off. Everything else I have is advanced deploy, but basically I'm going to put all my Exemplar Errants on the right-hand side across from Nick's Nis Hunters, and the Racks go scattered across the table, just where Fiora can pull focus off of them.
All right, so Mercenaries deployment. So, my deployment to my Earthbreaker's out. I have him left of center where, or right of center where he can hopefully run up into my enemy zone and get some work done. I have a Forge Guard placed on either side of him. Behind the Forge Guard is Gorton and Silas, and on the left of the Earthbreaker, on the right of the Earthbreaker is Thor and Dougal. Then to the left of the Forge Guard, I have the Tack, and to the left of the Tack, I have the Nis Hunters with Rupert hanging around. And then behind the Tack, kind of in between the Forge Guard and the Nis Hunters, I have my Gun Mages.
So, Menoth, turn one. Basically everything runs. I know it's a joke, but it is kind of true. I've got a lot of ground to cover. I've got to cover it as quickly as humanly possible. So my Errants run forward. Gravis runs up behind them to make them immune to knockdown. Not that it matters because they don't have tough, but, you know, got to try. Fiora allocates one focus each of her Warjacks first. Obviously, she casts Escort, walks up. The Warjacks all run forward. I keep the Vanquisher going towards the Nis. The Redeemer and the Reckoner both head closer towards the Earthbreaker because I'm hoping to put some damage on it before it gets too close. The Choir casts No Shooting on my Warjacks, and that's about it. The Paladin runs up to the left flank, the Allegiant runs up the right flank, and Taryn. God damn it! Taryn! Taryn runs into the forest to get Prowl, so she has stealth. Simple, straightforward, covering ground.
Cool beans.
Were you guys playing Death Clock or Time Turns?
Time Turns. Oh, God, time I hate turns. Time Turns.
It was brutal. It was so brutal. We were playing 10 minutes, 50 points. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
It sucks. Part of it is, like, I'm not sure if others have ever tried that before.
The first time for me, for sure.
Yeah, it's hard. Anyway, so on my turn, my Nifts move up first, and they try to kill some errands. I think I succeed in killing three of them.
You do.
Basically, I start off taking single shots, but I'm having a hard time breaking armor because they need, like,
sevens
to kill, and I miss, like, four in a row. So I'm like, fuck this shit. I CRA the last two, and I managed to kill two more for a total of three, I believe.
Yep.
And then the rest of my stuff just kind of runs up, I believe. So Rupert gives the Nist tough. Gorton puts strength of granite on the Earthbreaker and solid ground on himself. And then the tack runs up, gun mages run up, the forge guard runs up, the Earthbreaker runs up, and then the Earthbreaker support staff kind of just sneaks up behind him. So nothing too eventful, just chilling.
Fair enough. Okay, Menoth, turn two. So Nick has got his entire army within range of my entire army, and that, you know, that's a happy day for Menoth. I really want to kill Selena.
And because I'm playing dwarves, I'm still like two turns away at full speed run.
Exactly. So my errants, for example, even with their 10-inch range guns, actually out-threat charging Forge Guard. So it's nice. It's a nice feeling to know that I have an inch of space where I can kill him and he can't kill me back. But the Nis Hunters are, to
well,
me,
we
are...
We both know that your distance judging isn't nearly good
oh,
enough
God, no, it's
to
awful.
Put them all 10 inches away.
No.
But it's a nice thought.
Yeah. But the Nis right now are, for me, a priority because they have CRAs, and I feel more threatened by their speed, their reach, and their... not their reach, their speed and their capability to kill stuff than the Forge Guard, which I figure I can deal with eventually. So I have all my errands move up. They open fire. Thankfully, they have Hunter because of the Seneschal, so they ignore the forest. And I basically just try to kill Selena. It takes probably six or seven shots, but I finally ping her and kill her. And she doesn't tough, which is happy face. And the Seneschal kills another Nis, so I've only killed two of them. But I killed the leader, and that's the important part. Everything else was optional. The choir sings battle, and then the Vanquisher moves up and fires a shot forward, hoping not to kill any of my guys, and I'm lucky, and it doesn't, nope, yeah, it doesn't scatter anywhere, just scatters away harmlessly. The Reckoner moves up a little bit, takes a shot at the Earthbreaker, and is out by a fraction of a hair, sad face. The Redeemer moves up a little bit, and takes shots at the Earthbreaker. It hits, does 2 points of damage, lights it on fire, takes another shot, boosts the damage, does another, like, 2 points of damage. And then for the last one, just out of frustration, I decide to fire at Thor instead of at the Earthbreaker. And I get a perfect scatter, light Thor on fire, but I don't do any damage to him, unfortunately. Taryn moves in, up close to the Earthbreaker, using the judge of how far I was away with the Redeemer to get, you know, within 10 inches. And it's just out of 10 inches. Barely, but still out. Sad face. So instead she shoots one of the Forge Guard to death. The Paladin walks up into the zone, just toes in, and goes into +5 armor. And Gorman moves up behind the Warjacks, ready to blind the Earthbreaker on the next turn. And then, at this point I run out of time, which for me is interesting, because I still haven't activated Fiora, Gravis, and my Hierophant, or my Vassals. So I'm trying to decide whether to use my time extension on this turn or not, and I realize that on the following turn, Nick is going to kill all my crap, which means that from this point on, my turns are going to get faster and faster and faster. So I figure, what the hell, I'll do it. So I use my extension. So I have Gravis move up into the zone. I have the Hierophant run up behind Fiora just to catch up with her. The Vassals give an ancillary attack to the Redeemer, which again hits the Earthbreaker, does another piddly amount of damage. And then the other Vassal gives an ancillary attack to the Reckoner, which kills another Forge Guard. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. That turn wasn't so bad. I expected worse. Actually, I think it was Thor, Dougal, Gorton, and the Earthbreaker are on fire this turn.
Yes. Oh yeah, I got Gorton on fire too. I forgot about that. That was cool.
I guess that was the Redeemer, was it?
It must have been. Yeah, it must have been.
I don't remember.
The Vanquisher would have lit lots of stuff on fire.
Anyway, so it was the 4 of them on fire. So I do my fire checks, and every single one goes out.
It was insane. Awesome. Like, he rolled 1, 1, 2, 1. It was just, it was awful.
It was awesome. Just all 4 fire rolls go out. And that doesn't happen very often, so I was pretty happy with that. But really, the only one I actually cared about was Thor.
Yeah.
Dougal is expendable. He's useful, but he's expendable. Thor is absolutely instrumental to the way this list functions. Without Thor, the Earthbreaker is just a shadow of its former self. Well, it's still good, but he just turns it up to 12.
You know, that's exactly it. It's funny that you keep mentioning this, but the Earthbreaker is a phenomenal warjack. It's just the fact that Thor makes it an insultingly good warjack.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Like, basically, Thor breaks it.
There you go.
And I think the only reason why the Earthbreaker was released in its current state, as good as it is because Thor's a character.
Yes. Yeah, I completely agree.
Anyway, it's amazing. It's such an amazing combo. So I was happy with that. My stuff went out. At this point, fuck, I have no idea what I even did. I think I activated the NIS first, and a bunch of them aim, and two of them aim, I believe. Mm-hmm. And one fires at the Allegiant that moves up and engages one of my other aiming guy, actually.
Yep.
And then the rest do some attacks, and then the last, and then that last guy who's being engaged now tries to swing on the Allegiant, and he misses again, and then he moves up and engages two more guys, or
yes,
two guys.
He does. I love my Allegiant.
Yeah, no, he's a pretty cool model. Definitely no arguments there. I activate the attack, and one of them moves up, and I try to get cute, and I target one of my own Nis in the back to hit the Allegiant with some blast damage. I end up missing my Nis. It scatters the wrong direction and kills two of them.
Not only does it kill two of them, they both fail their tough, and they were both in the zone. It was just...
Yeah, no, it was just such a perfect storm of derp to do. So the other two guys just pop smoke because I'm like, fuck, I suck. After that, the Forge Guard, they just kind of run up. They kind of spread out into my enemy zone a little bit. Some of them get on the hill. Some of them... They try to run to engage Terran and the Paladin. Now, they can't get far enough to engage the Paladin, but they do engage Terran.
Yeah.
The Earthbreaker moves up and fires some stuff off, but it doesn't really do much damage. I think I fire some hip guns into the Reckoner, mm-hmm. But, you know, just do minor damage. I think about 7 or 8 damage.
Something like that. Yeah.
And my time runs out. So, yeah, I run my gun mages up because I have, like, 10 seconds left. And as my time's running out, I have Rupert put tough on the Nis. But, I think, Thor, Dougal, and Silas, and Gorton don't get to act this turn, which is not a big deal, but, is kind of sucky. It was a little bit of a big deal just because I really wanted to get Gorton closer to my zone because I had plans to dominate that soon. And, with Gorton, it takes a while to get there. So it was a little bit of a big deal that I didn't have time to get into that zone.
I think
means that. Good.
For the clarity, you did activate Gorton because you put a rock wall to protect your Earthbreaker from being charged.
You're right. Okay.
But I think you consciously decided to keep him where he was this turn. Next turn, you failed to activate him.
Yeah, it was order of activations. I think that I think there must have been my Forge Guard must have been in the way when I moved him.
Yeah, I think so. So Menoth, turn 3. That actually went a lot better than I expected it to. And now I have the downside of no longer having a turn extension and still having a crap ton of models. So I decide that this turn I'm going to start scoring on Nick's zone, and that means I have to clear out 1, 2, 3, 4 toughness. But how hard could that possibly be? As a corollary to that note, Gorton has solid ground up, which makes everything in his control range immune to blast damage, which has been pissing me off already all game. And on top of that, makes the Nis, who are within 10 inches of Gorton, immune to knockdown, which means that even if they tough, they're not knocked down, which I kind of consciously knew, but I still managed to forget. So the Allegiant goes first. He drops into Shifting Sands. He punches one Nis, which toughs and is knocked down. He punches the other Nis, hits him, kills him, he toughs, and he's in 10 inches of Gorton, so he doesn't get knocked down, which means he's now still as hard to hit as he ever is. So I charge my Aronson. They manage to kill 3 of the 4 Nis in the zone, but that one Nis that the Allegiant punched, killed, and knocked down, I can't even touch him again. I try, and there's no way to kill him. And one of the Nis in the center of the table, Tufts, gets knocked down, but then he Tufts 2 more times, and so eventually I just move Gravis up and kill him. And he fails his tough. But unfortunately, there's still that one Nis, so can't get the zone this time. But I move Fiora into the zone anyways, because that's very far away from the Earthbreaker, which is, you know, a safe place to be, far away from the Earthbreaker.
Well, and plus, you know, this table was kind of artificially divided in two based on our terrain placement, because we had the two objectives, then we had that tower right in the middle.
Yeah.
And there was, like, maybe, like, 5 and 1 cont hair of distance between the objective and the tower. So, I mean, like, it would be very difficult to get something like a huge base through there in order to switch sides if I had to.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, that actually did play a kind of major role in the game, was the fact that terrain was blocking, like, you know, cutting the table in half.
Yeah, no argument. So after I almost cleared out that side of the table, on the other side of the table, my Redeemer starts pounding away on the Forge Guard, and the Earthbreaker just does a couple points of damage on the Earthbreaker, kills a couple Forge Guard, but because they're within 10 inches of Gorton, again, they're immune to blast. So my Vanquisher then fires, gets an ancillary attack, fires again, kills 2 more Forge Guard. The Reckoner moves up behind the tower to make it a little bit more difficult for the Earthbreaker to charge it and for any of the Forge Guard to charge. And the Reckoner shoots and kills a Forge Guard and then ancillary attacks and kills another. Terran moves up to engage 2 of the Forge Guard. In my brain here, I was thinking this was a good idea because I would kill 1 and then the second one would still be engaging me, so I'd have a higher defense against the hip guns. What ended up happening is my first shot killed the Forge Guard within my 0.5 inch melee range, and then on my second shot I can't take it because gunfighter's only got a half inch range. The Forge Guard's got reach, so he's engaging me. I can't use a ranged attack. I can't use gunfighter. I hate that rule. I hate that interaction. It just doesn't make any sense.
I don't like it either. I feel like it doesn't make sense that it's a half inch melee. Like, it seems to me like you should be able to shoot anything that's engaging you.
Exactly.
And I feel the same way with unyielding as well.
Yes, yes.
These are two major things that would make Desters eminently more playable than they are already. And let's not talk about Desters. I get depressed when we talk about Desters. Yeah.
Additionally, on that side of the table, my Paladin, I make a mistake with him. Basically, I walk him up and I kill one of the Forge Guard rather than dropping to +5 armor. I really should have taken the +5 armor because I don't need to kill the Forge Guard. I just have to tie up that side of the table. And an armor 21 Paladin is harder to kill without charges than an armor 16 Paladin is. But whatever. Most importantly, Gorman activates. He walks up, and as he's walking up, I run out of time. So I'm placed in the position where I can't throw my blind grenade at the Earthbreaker, which is unquestionably within his range. So instead, I just have him walk up a little bit just so he's towing into the zone. He's in the forest. And I hope that he will survive by some miracle to blind the Earthbreaker on the following turn.
Good luck. yeah, so on my next turn, so the first thing I believe I do is activate the Forge Guard, and they charge, they kind of charge across the zone into Terran and the Paladin, and they end up taking both of them. Okay, so after the Forge Guard goes, I activate my Gun Mages. They move up as far as they can go, and I get just one of them in range of Gorman, which is, you know, too bad, because I wanted more. but that first one fires and hits with a snipe shot, but fails to kill him.
I think Yay!
Two boxes. And the rest just firing some errands. I think one fires a Thunderbolt Reckoner, but misses it because the cover.
Yep.
And so after that, Dougal puts Artillerist on the Earthbreaker, and Thor gives him boosted damage. And then the Earthbreaker trundles up, and he fires a torpedo shot at Gorman, and I miss, obviously, because it's stealth, and I roll my deviation, and it's within 2 inches, so it still hits him, and then I run out of time. And so, as is my right, I believe, unless we're cheating, I roll my single damage roll that I'm allowed from ending my turn, and it kills Gorman, which is a happy thing for me. That's all I really care about.
Just brutal. So, what Nick said is actually what happened, but from my perspective, I'm looking at the clock, and he's got 2 minutes left. And he hasn't activated his Earthbreaker yet, which is his only chance left to kill Gorman. And so he's like, okay, what haven't I activated yet? Oh, I haven't activated Dougal. I'll activate Dougal. And so he activates Dougal, he moves off. And in my brain, I'm like, okay, that was 15 seconds. I can do this. I can do this. It'll be okay. Okay, what do I have to activate next? Oh, I have to activate Thor next. And so he drags it on. And then when he activates the Earthbreaker, he walks it up. He's like, rather than firing the torpedo first, let's see how many hip gun shots I get. So he rolls the hip guns. With his time still running down, he doesn't have his 5-minute extension anymore. And then as he fires the torpedo, he runs out of time. And I'm like, damn it. Just 5 seconds. 5 seconds and Gorman would have been alive. But whatever. no point in crying over spilt art, alchemists. Gorman is dead, so.
No reason to cry over spilt black oil.
Exactly.
Black oil. I mean, if it makes you feel better, I didn't get to activate the TAC or the Nis Hunters, and those are both pretty important, activations because, I wanted to, get Nis into your zone, and I was gonna see if I could run some TAC in there. I don't remember if they're engaged or not, but, yeah.
No, they weren't. But,
they had work they needed to do.
Yeah. Even, you know, it sounds stupid, but sad face for the fact that you didn't even activate Rupert to give the Nis tough because.
Oh, yeah. And really also, Gordon didn't get a chance to go because I wanted to put a rock wall up in front of the Earthbreaker as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, as we established, Gorman's dead, but I have an Earthbreaker that I have to kill and a zone that I need to clear. So, full three focus go on to the Reckoner.
Did you score any points?
No, because there was one Nis just towing in the zone. Just barely.
But I actually scored a point for...
Yeah, for Nick.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Nick scored a point, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeehaw!
So the Reckoner gets a full stack of three, and Fiora camps the rest because she's going to need it. The Hierophant gives her Harmonious Exaltation. She casts Ignite on the Reckoner. Then the Reckoner gets enlivened from one of my vassals, and then the Reckoner walks over to the Earthbreaker. The initial attack hits, and I'm rolling dice plus one damage, because it's a POW 21 with plus two from battle and plus two from Ignite. I do over four attacks, initial attack plus three bot, I do enough damage to not cripple one side.
Yeah, he had his left side was perfect when you got there. And it had two boxes left when we were finished.
Which is just super sad phase. I don't think I would have been better off charging, because I would get the assault shot, which is a POW 15. But I lose one of the attacks, because boosted dice is worse than buying attacks. But whatever. Doesn't matter. I'm hoping
What was your weapon hitting at?
POW 21.
21, so dice plus 1. Yeah, you're better off buying.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways. Sad face, but, you know, what can you do? The Reckoner's got enlivened, so I know at least Nick's going to, you know, have to do some shenanigans to kill it. And if I'm lucky, he'll just punch it once and I'll get to walk away. Besides, how hard can a Earthbreaker possibly hit? It'll be fine. It'll be fine! My Redeemer, which has got no focus, decides, out of frustration, to just take one shot at Thor, which deviates only an inch. And Thor's immune to blast damage, but still lights him on fire, which is just perfect. Vanquisher activates, moves up, fires a shot at Gorton, which hits him and a couple of the mage hunt. I keep calling them mage hunters. Hits him and a couple of the
gun mages.
Thank you. Plus the objective and attack, but the attack is immune to fire. My errants and the Allegiant successfully clear out the last Nis with quick work shots and a couple melee attacks. And Fiora stays in the zone, so. Oh, I tried to move Gravis up, but he gets stuck between some of my own guys. And I kill one TAC. And on this turn, I have contested Nick's zone with my Reckoner, and I've cleared out my zones, and I'm dominating it. So the score is now 2-1 for me.
Awesome. Have a cookie. So, yeah, my turn. I know I want to just kill that Reckoner. I basically, at this point, I don't feel like I have any way to actually win the game, because I can't fathom what I could get into his zone that he couldn't kill easily. You know what I mean? I just don't have anything that can get there to contest and not just die. So I just want to have fun and kill some shit. So I move up some gun mages, and I forget what they do. I don't think they don't do anything of consequence anyway. But anyway, the gun mages move up and one of them just kind of goes right up and goes base to base just inside the arc of the Reckoner, just to kind of get in his way. And the Forge Guard charge the Reckoner, and they also get base to base with him, so he doesn't really have anywhere good to go. The first attack hits and does some pretty decent damage to him, and then he takes his opportunity to enliven away, and he kind of just slides to the left of the Earthbreaker a bit, but I mean, there's no way he can get far enough that he's not going to die this turn.
Yeah, that was extremely good placement on your part, but I have to correct you. The Forge Guard charge did 1 point of damage.
Oh, was that all it did?
It did one, which was...
Oh, you're right, yeah, okay.
If you hadn't have boxed me in, that would have been perfect, because I would have just walked away with one box of damage, and your Earthbreaker would have been able to follow me.
Yeah, that would have been hilarious.
It would have been great.
No, unfortunately, I did read your card before the game. So you don't get to noob stop me. Not so bad, anyway. Anyway, so yeah, then Thor to, actually, I forgot to mention the fire rolls.
Right.
The fire goes out of on Gorton, and it kills all the gun mages. and it does not go out on Thor, but your damage roll is such that Thor is left with, I think, two boxes.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with that because I still get my pounding.
Super sad face.
Thor tunes up the damage for the Earthbreaker, and I give him 3 focus, which is, you know, just excessive. I should have known, but I must have something I can do with it. But Earthbreaker trundles over to where the Reckoner is awaiting his fate, and I think he kills him in the second initial attack.
Yeah,
and by a lot.
It wasn't even close.
The first hit I think did no the second hit did 20 damage.
The first
I think
hit
you had like the second hit did 20 damage.
Yep.
And I think you had like 10 left.
Yeah, the first hit did 15.
Oh yeah.
It was just insane. Dice plus 5? Dice plus 5.
Our PS24 fists with strength of granite is pretty awesome. Yeah. Oh man. Gorton just turns that. Gorton and Thor and the Earthbreaker is such a dirty combo.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So the Reckoner is just toast. And the Earthbreaker uses some focus to swing on an errant, and I think he misses him like 3 times or something.
Yeah, something like that.
I guess I suck at rolling 6s. So that was sad. But it didn't really matter either. So. No. And I don't know if I did anything else this turn.
Nope, that was it.
Yeah, because I ran out of time.
Oh, you gave tough to the tack.
Oh, yeah. Yay.
So at the end of Nick's...
at the end of my turn, use core 2 more points, and the game's pretty much decided at this point. Oh, yeah. Well, I get 1 more to put me at 2, and you get 2 more to put you at 4.
Exactly. And so at my turn, I just instantly end my turn. Win the game with 5, and Nick gets 3.
If I had something to contest, there might still have been a game, but I just didn't have any models that I could throw. Like, there's just nowhere for them to go.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
Maybe the tack with tough might have had a chance, but you're really banking on an awful lot of luck if that was.
Yeah, no, because if they leave engagement, they're probably going to die because you're a power 9 weapon master, so that's 4 dice on a free strike. That's, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You're not going to miss. Rupert might have run through the forest and maybe towed in the zone. He might have had enough movement. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So I suppose I probably should have done that if I was actually playing competitively. And then I might have been able to run Gorton in behind the Earthbreaker. I don't even know if I could have made it. Like, fucking speed 4 is just awful.
Anyway. Yeah.
It was a fun game. You know, I love playing the dwarves. They're fun to play. And, it was a decent game. That tower in the middle really did screw with me, though.
It really did. And, I am sympathetic for it because I set it up without realizing that you had 2 colossals, like 1 colossal on each of your lists. And I didn't have any. So the table was a little bit in my
asterisk.
Favor. Asterisk. why don't we move on to rating the casters? We will start with Menoth because I managed to pull off the win. I should probably write this down. So, we will start with feet use. Yay! speaking of which, by the time this podcast goes live, there will be a new page on the Combo Smite website. The page just says ratings, and Nick has lovingly crafted a long and extensive... he's crafted a loving explanation of our rating system. So it is now formalized and written in stone. What each of the ratings corresponds to. So if you ever find yourself lacking understanding of why I got a 4 and Nick gets a 2.3, now you have a place to look. Anyways, in this case, the feed...
That
I didn't
would have been a really good thing to put in news and announcements.
Oh my god, yes it would have been. Oh well.
The magic of editing. Awesome.
I didn't use my feed at all.
But the point is, though, when should you have used it? Or was there a time? Personally, I don't think you actually had a good time because you never had any fire in your control area. It was all like 16 inches away from your Redeemer, which was too far away from Fura. I would give you an NA here just because there wasn't really a time when you should have done it.
I think it was probably wise of me to hold on to it because if I was going to use the feat for anything, it would be... In the late game, let's assume something had gone horribly wrong, and there was this one Nis that refused to die, so I wasn't scoring control points. When your Earthbreaker comes over, Fiora and the Vanquisher are the only two things that can kill it. And so I would send the Vanquisher in first, you would destroy the Vanquisher subsequent to that, and then Fiora's got to finish the job. That's when she needs the feat, because it lets her pull in more focus from things that are on fire, even if it only gives her one or two more. That can be the tipping point between her being able to destroy it to her being left with no focus and exposed. So.
Oh, NA is good.
NA is good. All right. Moving right along. Tactics. Aaron, how did you feel about my tactical performance?
Pretty good. Do you think using your time extension when you used it was the best use of it?
No, I think it was a mistake. Okay. But I think that'll come into time use. Tactically speaking, you know, it's interesting that Nick and I, we discussed after the game, as we always do, briefly, and we had kind of opposite perspectives on how I matched up my troops to him. I really was worried about putting my errants across the table from his hammer dwarves, and he was really worried about putting his hammer dwarves across the table from my errants. So it was kind of this interesting thing where I thought the errants would be better against the Nis, and so did he. But in the end of it, my Nis still had four members, and my errants still had four members, and I killed every one of the Nis. So I think I came out on top in that particular regard.
Well, part of that is I can't roll a seven to save my life. You're right. I mean, like, power 10 guns and armor 16, you know, it's not the best match. But, I mean, you can usually rely on 50-50. Well, you can't rely on it, but, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I rolled, I think, four sixes in a row when I was trying to kill those errands. So, I mean, there shouldn't have been that many errands left.
Yes. Really. This is true. Sorry, Aaron, you were going
to
say?
Just to go along with that, yeah, it does seem like a bit of an issue, or not a big issue, an interesting positioning of the errants, just because going up, like what you said, going up against the Nis should have wiped them out. And you just ended up, you just got the better hand, or the upper hand, because of Nick's rolling, not because it was a decent matchup.
Well, there's a couple of different things. First of all, I don't think you can.
Oh, and on top of that, there was a few turns that Nick, you didn't actually activate them because you just ran out of time.
Yes.
Yeah. No. There's a lot of factors here. I wholeheartedly disagree with Mark on this issue. I think the Nis were the best thing I had to take the errands out. Right. And I think there's a lot of factors that made it so that I wasn't able to do that. One of them was just some bad rolls where I wasn't able to kill them, like, cuz there was four in a row I hit and they failed to break armor. That just kind of sucks, but it happens, right?
Yep.
And so then I did some CRAs to just kind of seal the deal, but I mean, I shouldn't have needed that. I should have done 10 shots and I should have killed five errands, basically. Yep. Like, based on averages.
Yep.
Or something like that. But anyway,
no, that your statement is accurate. As it is, you attacked seven times and killed three, so you weren't far off. But
the other problem was my placement of Sylana. I mean, if I had protected her, then they would have also had, you know, done a better job of staying alive. And another thing that we talked about was also, let's not get into this because this is your tactic, not mine. So
okay,
let's just skip this for now. But anyway,
we'll come back to it. All right. So Aaron, if you had to pick a number between 1 and 5, would you pick Chartreuse or Smiley Face?
That has nothing to do with the rating system at all. One is an emoticon, and another is a color, possibly a aroma.
Sorry.
No, I would say a 3.
Okay.
Just because of what we talked about, the errands against the Nist on paper seems like a really bad idea.
Fair enough.
Because once you move them up, they had no cover, and the Nist could just shot at them, and like we just said,
Nist because of covering.
Yeah. No, yeah, but you're right. You're right. They're in the open.
Against any decent ranged unit, that's a bad matchup. No, like, but especially so with the Nis.
Nick, how do you feel?
I don't think your tactics were bad. Certainly the minimum 3. I think you're pushing a 4 here. I mean, you did some decent stuff. You know, you thought that the errants were the best matchup for the Nis. So, I mean, so you made that matchup happen, and I guess that's good. You know, your use of your AoEs, they were targeted well. I mean, I think on one turn you took out like 5 Forge Guard, with just like scattering AoEs and stuff. So, that was good. You did a good job with those things. What else? Your self-sacks, I mean, you didn't do a whole lot of self-sacking because there wasn't really a point to it, but I guess it didn't really matter. So I guess, maybe Aaron's right. It's a solid average performance, nothing crazy good, but, you know, just a solid game, so maybe a 3.
Sure, I'm okay with that. I agree with you guys. I think there was a couple points that I did very well. The right side of the table with the Nis, I think, went in my favor. The left side of the table, I was derpier. I made some tactical blunders. The way I used Terran, bad. The way I used the Paladin, bad. So overall, three's okay.
Yeah. Well, and like part of it was that, you know, I only dedicated a 10-point unit to entire flank, whereas you had your errands with UA, with Solo,
yeah.
With Dragoon, with the Allegiant. I mean, that is, if it doesn't go your way, then you get a one.
Yes, exactly. No so, argument.
But again, you know, you picked the flank to focus on, and yeah. and it worked, right? Yeah. So I can't really argue with that.
And it did seem that maybe you, I don't know if you noticed this or not, that Gorton, just because of his speed, was going to have trouble getting up into the enemy zone.
Mm.
So did you use the slight speed advantage that Fiora had to really capitalize on kind of the shifting of the units, like to get, because it was like almost like a counterclockwise movement of Nick's army going up to his right flank and you going to your right flank.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you're saying, and there was an aspect of it. Really what I was using Fiora for, her speed, was not to counterpoint Gorton, it was to counterpoint the Earthbreaker. The second I saw the Earthbreaker peeling off towards the right, I was moving Fiora hard to the left. Or actually, vice versa. I saw the Earthbreaker go left, Fiora went right. Because that was Nick's most viable way to kill her, and so I had to keep her as far away as humanly possible from that point. And it was nice to have, you know, by turn two, Fiora had moved up 8 more inches than Gorton was capable of moving.
Yeah.
So, anyways. Okay, so scenario awareness. I think I did pretty well on scenario, probably a 4-ish, because I was very consciously trying to clear the zone as quickly as humanly possible.
I would say you did everything you could.
Yeah.
Like you threw your whole army, that one NIST that just kept topping.
Yeah, that goddamn son of a bitch. Yeah.
No, 4 is fair here.
Okay. Aaron, anything you want to add?
Yeah, 4.
Perfect. Okay. Luck. You know, again, I think this is a luck 3. You know what? I'm going to go for a 4, because I had 2 cases where I shot at Thor, missed him, and then had it scatter only an inch, which is just about as lucky as possible.
And the one
possible.
Time, you were like 20 inches away, and you got your 1-4.
Yes! Oh my god, that was brilliant. You're right. It was fantastic. So lighting Thor on fire was great. The fact that the first time the fire went out, sad face. The fact the second time the fire only did 2 points of damage, super sad face, but whatever.
Well, again, I think those things, like, and this is so subjective, but I think those things fall into my luck.
true.
So, whereas, yeah. Like, hitting him in the first place falls into your luck.
Yeah, no, I agree. So I think this was a relatively lucky game. Okay, and moving on to time use. So, earlier, Aaron, you were asking about my time extension.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used it the wrong time. I only used 1.5 minutes of it, I think, and the reasoning I did it was that, you know, I figured everything would die and I wouldn't need the time at any other point, which is a very stupid thing to do.
And you very much overestimated my ability to kill your shit.
Also true. But even if you had killed, you know, the majority of my errands, it isn't a really a direct correlation between the number of models you have to the length of your turn. It's the importance of getting the right models activated. So,
also true.
If I had that time extension just to activate Gorman to get him within range of the Earthbreaker to blind him, that is a way better use of 5 minutes than actually using 5 minutes to just shuffle around a bunch of models that don't do anything. So I don't think my time use creeps past a 2, unfortunately.
I'm going to say 2 as well, but for the specific reason that every turn except for your first turn and the last one, which you ended immediately, you ran out of time.
Also true.
In regards to was the time extension on your second turn the right thing to do, I don't think that can be held against you because your reasons for using it then were completely legit.
Right.
You had no way to know that Nick wasn't going to wipe out your army on the next turn.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, obviously hindsight 2020, looking back, yes, clearly the next turn would have been the better time to use it.
Yeah.
But you had no way to know that.
That's fair enough. Nick, anything you want to add?
No, sounds good. You sucked. 2 is good.
Thanks. All right, Nick. And we'll go with you first. Any derps of note that you would like to point out to the Combo Smite listening community?
Well, little mini derp would be, like, you know, whatever you're trying to do with Terran over there just didn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Yep.
Not putting the armor on the Paladin instead of trying to kill some Forge Dread instead, which is kind of pointless.
Yep.
The turn you tried to blind the Earthbreaker, you should have made sure you had time to do that.
Yep.
That's the most I can think of, but I'm sure maybe Aaron can come up with something else.
One thing I want to just point out, it's kind of a time use, but mostly derpitude. For anybody out there listening, if you have a Colossal and on your opponent's side and you have Gorman, for the love of everything you hold holy, use Gorman first. Just activate him first. You know, it doesn't take a lot of brain power. You activate Gorman, you move him up, you have him throw his blind grenade, and then you do the rest of the crap you have to do. But you do Gorman first. Aaron, any derps that you would like to point out?
No. I'll bring this up now just because I thought of it, but it is in regards to both of you. Did either of you take advantage of the objective ability?
No, never.
Okay.
It never came up for me. I had a bunch of solos nearby, but I didn't really take that many command checks. I mean, my NISs were fearless the whole game from Rupert.
Yeah.
And the gun mages, they passed a command check they maybe didn't have to take.
Right.
But other than that, I mean, that's it.
Okay.
All right, so my plethora of mistakes, does that make me a derp 2 or a derp 3?
I think it only takes you to a 2. It was nothing major. I mean, the Gorman thing sucks, but I mean, all that means is now you're fighting fair.
So. Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah, fighting fair is for suckers.
So true. Aaron, what do you think? 2?
Yeah, 2 is fine.
All right. So it is written, so it is done. Moving on to Nick. So, Nick, how did you feel about your feet use?
You guys can decide if I get an NA or a 0. I don't think I really had a good time to use it.
Yeah.
So I would say it's an NA. There was never really an opportunity where I really needed to, like, lower something's defense or move something's position or do whatever. Like, I kind of just killed what I wanted to kill regardless.
Yep.
There's
only one time that you might have potentially used it, which is the turn my Reckoner was hiding behind a tower before it engaged your Earthbreaker. You could have theoretically moved Gorton up, popped your feet to pull the Reckoner 3 inches closer to your Earthbreaker, and then have the Earthbreaker.
Or to pull it 8.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Pull it 8 inches closer to your Earthbreaker. And then just have your Earthbreaker, you know, leisurely walk up and pound it on that turn rather than on a future turn. But
yeah, it's possible. The problem with that, though, is that now Gorton has to be within 10 inches of that Reckoner. And I don't know what else that would have put me in range of.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Is that, you know, yes, it would have gotten you a Reckoner, but as is traditional with Gorton's feet, you either win the game or immediately afterwards you die. So it's, I think this is an NA as well. There wasn't a good time to trigger it. Aaron, how do you feel?
Yeah. Cause Nick had a plan from the get-go to put Gorton into, the zone, and that wasn't really conducive to, really making effective use of the feet.
Yeah. Also, if the game had gone in Nick's favor, that is to say the NISs were still contesting and Gorton did manage to get into his zone, having the feet available to just clear the zone is incredibly powerful.
It certainly is. So. This scenario, I probably made, we'll talk about it later.
Okay. But, So, tactically, Aaron, how do you think that Nick did?
I don't know if this is a derp or tactics, but having her up front to die.
Well, she was in the back,
just too close.
Yeah, she was just a little too close, that's all. I should have had her just kind of safer. And, it was going to be hard to protect her from the errands, and I knew that because they have Hunter. Mm-hmm. There's not much I could do about that other than keep her far away.
Yeah.
I just didn't keep her quite far enough away, that's all. Yeah. So.
Well, as it is, you had her close enough that I think I got 4 or 5 shots off on her.
Yeah.
And it took the 5th shot to kill her. So if she had been an inch back, I may have only gotten 2 or 3, and that wouldn't have been enough.
Yeah. Well, and that's where we come into other tactics where what we discussed after the game, and I kind of determined that I made the wrong choice with Rupert in that I gave them tough every turn. But I think, again, like because they're paired up against Errants, who have no CRAs, no CMAs, they're Mat Rat 6, I really, really, really should have been putting Dirge Mists on them, because then they would have been needing higher numbers to hit every single turn. Like, they would have been needing 10s to hit instead of 9s. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
It just would have been a much better decision.
Yep. Yeah, no argument. For the record, they're Mat 7, but they're Rat 6, yes.
Ah, got it.
Yeah. And I'm still on the fence about it, but I think you're probably right.
Yeah, I'm not on the fence. I was thinking of it more today, and just, yeah, I'm sure that, you wouldn't have been able to kill Selena if you needed, 10s to hit her.
Yeah. Very likely.
The other thing I was going to bring up was, the Arcanist Corps really being more or less out of the game because they were so far on the right flank. Did you place them there just because you thought you were going to really have to throw down to get into that zone?
You mean the Forge Guard?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, no, they were kind of, they were pretty far out. That was probably a bad placement on my part. It would have been smarter to have them maybe near them, close to the middle, but, I don't know, just the middle gets kind of clumped up and, clumped up Forge Guard just die. And so I really wanted to spread them out and, kind of use them as a screen for my Earthbreaker a little bit. Mm-hmm. Just kind of to get in the way.
Yeah.
They did a little bit of that, but they mostly just died. But, you know, it was shots that were needed to clear the way to get to the Earthbreaker. You know what I mean? So, because without them there, those, all those shots just go into the Earthbreaker and now he's dead.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
No, I mean, I think I used them the way I intended to. Basically, I took them as a screen for the Earthbreaker. Yeah. And they could have done more if they'd been elsewhere, but I think that they did what they were supposed to do.
That's fair. Nick, how do you feel about your tactical performance? I'm thinking a 3. Again, nothing brilliant, nothing awful.
It's certainly not brilliant. Again, you know, it bleeds over into scenario awareness, but I think it was probably a mistake for me to go for the enemy zone with Gorton. just because he can't get there. You know, it's going to take him 3 turns just to get there if he's running.
Right.
So that was probably a mistake, just from the get-go. Mm-hmm. But we'll deal with that. I think I'll take a 3 for tactics, and we'll talk about scenario awareness separately.
What do you think, Aaron? 2 or 3?
A 3. What I was going to bring up, and this is a really huge rhetorical question, do you think it would be sound, maybe not so much against this Manoth list, but maybe against some other faction, to put... in the same scenario, put all of your units to attempt to just control, just get 1 point per turn controlling your friendly zone.
No, it certainly is it's a valid tactic as long as you're contesting the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you had, you know, one unit on the other side, but you had, because in this case, I think it would benefit the lower speed of the dwarves because it's a closer target.
Yeah.
You would have had a better chance of getting Gorton into that zone.
Yeah, no, you're probably right about that.
And I'm not saying that's what you should have done. I'm just saying, do you think that's a valid tactic to use ever? Because it is risky.
Yeah.
It definitely is, and you don't have to be a dwarf to use that tactic. I mean, dwarf. It's a valid tactic for many, many lists.
Yeah. No, I think it's a very good point, Aaron. And, you know, I'm going to toot my own horn a little bit here, but that's fundamentally what I did. Except in reverse, which instead of choking all of my infantry into my friendly zone, I funneled everything I had into Nick's zone and then just put just a token force on the other side to try to hold it down. So.
Well, and it's exactly what I did as well. It's just that my Nis were not able to hold the zone as well as I'd hoped.
Right.
And I didn't have a backup, which is my fault.
Speaking of holding zones, Aaron, how do you feel about Nick's scenario performance?
I'd say a 4.
Ooh.
It's not that he wasn't aware that he had to put something into his zone to contest it to prevent you from getting the point. Mm-hmm. It's just that by that point in the game, I think after the second turn, he was really just running low. The model count was the problem. Mm-hmm. Not that he
I'd like to point out just for a second that scenario awareness is not about how well your plan goes. How good your plan was, whether or not it craps out and you end up sucking and losing on scenario anyway, is not particularly relevant for
right.
It's the awareness part, right? So I think I do deserve a 4 here because I was thinking about it, I was working on it. Unfortunately, you know, later on in the game after my units were kind of gone, I just didn't have anything. You know, I mean, I wanted to put something in the zone, but there was nothing there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So. No. I think that still gets me a 4. I mean, like, obviously, I didn't win. but I was doing what I could.
Yeah, no, I agree. Despite the fact that I was in a better scenario position, you did start scoring first. You had models positioned and the right models in the right positions to make it difficult for me to get scenario. It's just the attrition war went so heavily in my favor.
And that was a lot due to dice. Yep. So, some due to dice, anyway. And also due to our next category, which is time management. Me not acting on this like 2 turns in a row doesn't help.
Well, actually, we're not at time use just yet. First, we're at luck. So, Nick, how do you feel about your luck?
Well, no, My luck. Well, I mean, there were some good stuff in there. There's certainly some good stuff.
Yep. Thor not burning to death. That's good.
Well, yeah, you know, getting four, having fire go on four models in one turn is unheard of. the next time Thor was on fire, hit not killing him was great. Now again, we can talk about the bad luck of him getting on fire in the first spot, because that was like random chance as well.
Yes.
I would say it was probably a four. There was some bad stuff. I couldn't roll a seven to save my life, or rather to kill an errant
on the first turn.
To contrast that, those Nists just were tough and like champs.
Yeah.
Some of them were. I lost a lot of Nists. I think the first turn I lost five and didn't tough a single time. But the turn after that, I you had to kill them like 10 times or something silly.
Also, you can kind of tell that you're not very familiar with your list just yet, because I think I had to remind you to tough your Nists like 10 times. So I'd hit his Nists, I'd kill it, he'd take it off the table and like, tough. Oh, yeah, he'd roll. It would die. I would shoot another Nists, yeah, I would kill it, he would take it off the table.
You are tough. A gentleman and a scholar. I've never played this list. I've played a similar list against Aaron a while back for another battle report when he was playing Urisk. And that was actually with Boomhowlers, and it was better.
It's just one of those things you get used to.
Yeah, no, I do like the list, but yeah, I've only played it twice now, so this was my second time, so I'm not very familiar with it. My general suctitude also comes into play.
You just like making detudes of everything. Aaron, is there anything you want to add to luck?
I might not go so high as a four, because you did have good luck and bad luck, but I think each negated each other.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like down to neutral.
That's fair. Fair.
You know what? I'll give you the three just because I think my luck was a little bit more in my favor than yours was.
Yeah, I would say that.
Okay. Time use. So you ran out of time.
What is lower than a one?
A zero, but I don't think we give zeros for time use.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Check our page.
I think a time use one is probably appropriate here. Not because you ran out of time every time.
I think a time use one is entirely too generous.
Yeah. You did run out of time a lot of turns, but more importantly than that, you ran out of time on critical turns, and you almost ran out of time when you were trying to kill Gorman.
Yeah, no, ran out of time and important places without having done my important stuff first, and it was pretty much, this is the perfect storm of shitty time use.
Yeah. So, just in your defense, Adventure Time was on in the background, and I know it was distracting. So, in the future...
Okay. That should have gone in tactics, and that should be a negative for both of y'all.
That show is just so random. Anyways,
I love it.
And last but not least, Derptitude. So, Nick, how was your Derptitude?
Oh, man, I mean... how many of my derps, though, weren't just a direct result of time use? did I make major mistakes that weren't just because I ran out of time and didn't get to do my shit? I don't know. I'm not...
Well, okay.
Taking the shot at one of your Nests and then killing two of your Nests.
That's definitely a derp.
That was huge. It was one of the more spectacular derps. I don't think it had a major effect on the game.
No.
You were probably going to kill those Nists anyway, and you ended up not scoring that turn anyway, so you would have killed all of them within two turns regardless, I think.
Maybe.
So, I mean, it really didn't affect the game too much, but it was obnoxiously silly.
That's why I bring it up, because it was either, if it went the way you planned, it was going to be not great, and then it just went worse.
Yeah.
No. If it went the way I planned, it would have been awesome. I sacrificed one Nis, who's a one-point model, to kill the Allegiant, which is a two-point model. It's great. Yeah. I'll take that any day.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I could guarantee it was going to happen, I would take that any day.
Yeah. Now,
but that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not amazing. It's just like, well, you're still losing a guy, so it could.
No,
be
but bad. I'll take it.
Yeah, no, and it would have been a good exchange. Although I have to point out, I have to say. I just want to point out that it's actually a double derp, just because the whole killing your own units thing. Yeah, okay, fine, that's bad. But also because you didn't activate Rupert first to give the Nis tough before you shot your own Nis.
I suppose. He might have survived. I guess I just don't bank on tough. anyway.
So, I mean, at least you didn't give them the defense buff and then try to shoot them. That would be worse.
Yeah, that would be worse.
Okay, so I think that's probably the only derp you had, but it was a rather entertaining one.
yeah, it was silly.
So, two?
Yeah, there's nothing else that really stands out. Just that, but it was a silly derp, but it didn't really affect the game. I would call it a two.
All right, fair enough. I'm sure the listeners will gleefully point out other things we've missed, which I'm sure we have. And yeah, that's always the case. Okay, well, that's the battle reports. Thank you for listening. And next we move on to the painting table, which, again, it's only been 2 days since we had this conversation, but let's try for the sake of conversation. Aaron, what do you got on the painting table?
Nothing.
Nick, what do you got on the painting table?
Well, actually, I just got in some replacement bits for my Hyperion from Predator Press just yesterday.
Ooh.
It's the upper torso halves that just don't quite ever fit together, so I got a replacement from them, which is nice. And actually, they got here record time, by the way. Shout out to Privateer Press bits replacement, whatever, mispacks, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
I sent that in like a week ago, and I got this stuff already, and like this is like from Canada, so like we usually get things like within 3 months.
Yeah, we're lucky.
So I was pretty happy to get them that fast. It was like a week and a half or something. So now I've primed my Hyperion, and I'm hoping to have him painted up for Adepticon, but it's a long shot.
I have an entirely unreasonable request. Can I have the pieces that were miscast?
Yeah.
Excellent, because I have a great idea for a huge wreck marker. Okay, and as for me, I'm still working on my errands. I will be working on my errands forever. I have put a post up on the website about my exemplar errands and how they are taking just sweet forever. But I'm hoping to get them finished this weekend. A little bit of luck. Sunday, I'm trying to get some league games in with Aussie. But other than that, nothing besides painting. So we'll see. Okay, well, that's all we have for this week. Thank you for listening. And does anyone have something they'd like to say to sign off?
Yes. Thank you for listening to Combo Smite. And as the ladies tell Gordon, it's not the size of your stack, it's how you use it.